This is the Freedom Beans, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Query Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working, Katie Green and Michael W. Dean?
Yeah, it's working. Yeah. I like it. It feels good.
So the phone company...
Does it work for you, Dan?
The phone company is... Everyone in the world hates it. I just saw a movie from 1967. The premise of this movie was the phone company is evil. They're tapping every phone and they... Yeah, and they're like the worst thing in the world and everyone hates their phone company. 1967.
Do you have a choice? Do you have a varied choice in your phone companies, Michael, or do you have very little choice?
Yeah, but in 1967, there was one government-controlled monopoly here.
Well, you know that we kind of have that here. Every phone line's a British Telecom phone line.
Yeah, don't you pay your bill at the post office?
No, that's a very old thing, but every phone line here really has to be... You have to get an engineer out from British Telecom.
Was that only not privatised in the 80s or something like that? I think it was.
Yeah, but it's still, private companies still have to phone British Telecom engineers.
Aye, because one of them showed up at our house when the internet stopped working, didn't they?
Yeah,
one
of they have to clones. Come out, so...
The guy, actually, see that guy, he was really taken out of me a bit because, like, he'd phone my phone and on my mobile phone, like, if you don't get me, my answer phone message says, like, if I've not been seized by the government, I'll phone you back when I can.
This guy thought, I'm going to have fun.
And this guy left me a message and it was like, yes, my name is Agent Smith and I'm from GCHQ. And this kind of thing. And I was like, who's phoning me? I knew it was a joke, but I didn't know who it was. And then my phone went again. And he went, hi, I'm a BT agent. I just left that for you. Like, I was like, what?
The guy was mental, but he was really nice, though. He was cool.
And then he was like, when do you want me to come up to your house to fix your phone line?
Yeah. But no, like, that's cool, but we don't know what it's like in the States. Like, we have some... We don't have a heck of a lot of choice here, though. It really depends where you live.
Well, you have a lot of choice here for... Well, sort of. Because it's all... There was this thing called Bell Telephone that was... It was a government-controlled private monopoly, which was basically a government-controlled company until the 70s or 80s, something like that. And then it got, you know, the government monopoly broke. The government broke up the government monopoly. And then there were a lot of, there's a lot of phone companies now, but generally in a specific geographic region, there aren't many because they, like, cut deals with, you know, state governments and stuff, so they can have, like, a duopoly or, you know, maybe two, like, usually two cell phone providers, you know, in a medium-sized city, there generally will be two or three cell phone providers, two or three broadband companies, and, like, one DSL company. You don't have a lot of choice, but you have more choice than you used to. But the thing is, even though you have choice, it's still very much a government-controlled service, and, you know, of course the government can spy on every phone all the time. And, you know, I mean, in the 60s, this movie was a comedy. This movie I saw tonight called The President's Analyst with James Coburn, tough guy James Coburn from The Great Escape and The Dirty Dozen. But you should see this movie. It's kind of like a British comedy made in America, I guess I'd say. But it's kind of goofy and British. But, you know, the premise of it is that, like, the phone company is tapping every phone, which in the 60s was a joke and comedy. And then when I was saying it in, you know, the 80s, people thought I was crazy. But, you know, apparently it's been proven that it's happening. But people still think you're crazy if you care now. Yeah.
Well, it's very easy to be branded a crazy person.
Isn't that kind of weird though? Like, people do think you're crazy if you care, and I've noticed that. Like, remember we've said to people before. Like, people even said even simple things like, "Why do you cover up your
cover your webcam with a Band-Aid?"
Some people were like,
looking at me.
And people go, "Oh, who's going to spy on you?" Well, do you remember that Russian website released so many thousand hours of people?
It happens. And it's so easy to do as well, because I have a friend who's a tech person and he's been in people's computers and stuff. And if he wanted to, he could just look at their webcam and then keep it on. He can. He doesn't, because he's not a freak. But
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not. My God. But, you know, it is creepy, though. And it's incredibly doable to do. Like, cover your webcam. Like, don't talk about things on the phone that you don't want people to know about.
I'm even shocked when I try and download an app onto my phone.
Oh my
gosh,
they
want to know
where
you
are.
Oh, we want your identity. We want to know where you are. We want to be able to use your photos.
Check this out. Check this out. I am right now on my computer looking at an unsecured camera in somebody's home in England.
Why?
Because there's a website.
Michael, why? Get off.
Because there's a website.
No, that's creepy.
It's not a laptop camera. It's like a home security camera that they didn't secure. Because the ones that go over the internet, like, you're supposed to secure them. And there's a website that just searches the internet for ones that are unsecured and then displays the content. I've sit and, like, watched people work in their offices.
That's creepy.
It's insecam.org. Insecam, like insecure cam, insecam.org.
Yeah.
So there.
It's kind of weird though, man. Like, really? Like,
that I'm looking
What's
at.
What's the motivation behind this website?
Why do you want to look at it? Step away from your computer.
I'm not looking at it. I just prefer that people can look at this. Yeah, that's it.
I know. I've heard actually of that, and that creeps me out, like, that someone could watch me, but. I'm pretty cool that we don't have any in here.
But what's the motivation behind this website? Is it to show how these things can be tapped?
Yes. Like, and like they, you know, for ad, they have ads on it. But for ads, how to secure, we'll tell you how to secure your webcam. Yeah.
But that's the best place for it. Like, that happened to my boss. That did happen, though. She was on the laptop and all of a sudden this thing came up and said, your computer's infected, and it took a picture of her.
Yeah, well, this isn't even this isn't even infected. This is just people who don't, you know. Usually, most devices, you know, the password is password until you change it, or admin or admin one.
Yeah, you should always change your passwords, guys. Like, so, that's just 101.
Do you remember in the American version of The Office? It's like the boss, Michael Scott, he's like, what's your password? He can't remember, but it's 1234, but he's actually got it on a post-it because he keeps forgetting.
That's so funny. 1234. Yeah. The worst password ever.
I get creative with my passwords. Obviously, I can't tell you what, but they largely make no sense, and I think that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, yours really don't. Like, mine usually have a theme to them, but yours just make no sense.
Really, the best ones are generally, like, really long sentences that only you would ever say. Like, you know, I wish this orgasm would stop. It's been going on far too long, cats, you know.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that. Yeah.
I'm just checking to see if that gets me into any of Michael's accounts.
All right. No, we were looking, Dan and I were going to talk about this. Like, we're talking about The Office and we're talking about bosses. I mean, I don't have, like, horror stories or anything, but there's, like, certain personality types that definitely pop up, I think, Dan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I found an article about this, and I did, just because I'm really creeped out by people in my work. Like, just because...
You're creeped out by everyone, though,
Dan. I got a mild promotion, right? I got, like, a small promotion, and now, like, because I'm on this other sort of slightly other level, I can actually see things that I didn't realize were going on before, if you know what I mean. Like, I didn't realize there was this stuff behind the scenes, there was this politics that I was not aware of, and all of a sudden now I'm completely aware of it. I'm kind of scaredly aware of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really weird because I used to like a lot of guys in work, and now the people I didn't like, I find I like more, and the people I used to like, I don't like so much anymore.
I think you're just getting older too, though. You're just getting older. You're just like, I like those guys. They work hard with kids.
I know. I used to like to slack off of them, but now I'm like, that's
work hard.
That guy works, man. He comes in here. He does his best.
Yeah.
That should worry me, shouldn't it?
No, I think that's perfectly natural for getting older and, like, getting a promotion in work.
You think
you're
so?
Just like, because you're no longer one of those. You used to be like the idiot that stuck, like, stacking the shelves.
Aye, that was
you're just like an idiot with long hair.
Why do you need to throw in the word idiot?
No, but you were like just a boy. You were like a teenage boy working a job, and you were like, I don't want to do this. But now you're like a man, and you're like, I have to go to work. That makes sense.
That makes me feel like I've got responsibility.
What? You do. Dude, we got married like 7 years ago. Where were you?
Where were you?
We own a house. Where were you?
You own a mortgage.
No, but like that's fine. Yeah, that's
I've been having a psychotic break for the last 7 years. I'm just finally starting to come out of it now.
Yep. He's now aware. He is self aware, everyone.
I'm self aware. You sound like I'm AI or something. I know. You are not self aware.
Speaking of AI, have you guys seen the you haven't seen the movie or the British TV show Humans yet, have you?
Not yet.
Oh,
no.
We have not.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, no. Yeah. I don't want to know about it.
Well, you didn't. It's great. This isn't really a spoiler alert, but you mentioned that the woman from the IT crowd, Jen, the actress who plays her, is in there. It's brilliant casting because she's in the IT crowd. She's like, you know, a fun loving party girl who doesn't understand technology, but is the boss of people who do technology. And in this, she is absolutely nothing fun about her. And she's afraid of technology. So but she's older and more square, I guess. But it's a great movie. It's a great show.
There you go, Dan. Older and more square.
I've seen all three episodes of it. It's, let's see, what would I say? There's nothing new in it. Like, it doesn't present any new ideas. But it's kind of like Black Mirror in that it has really interesting depictions of how technology might work and look and operate in the not-too-distant future. Like, for instance, there are sentient robots in this show that are people's caretakers and, yes, sex bots in their house. But mainly, but they're owned by the National Health and they're administered by your insurance company. Like that's how they have to be registered. Yeah. So.
Right. That just adds a whole element. So we will definitely check that out because, but no, I was going to say we were watching a film recently, Robin Williams film, the Cutter, was it, Dan?
Aye.
And it was weird.
Was it called something like that?
I don't know. It was the Final Cut. Or
the Final Cut. That's
Final
what it
was. Are you talking about the one where he's a robot? Bicentennial Man?
Well, no. No, no, no.
No, it was called The Final Cut. It was it came out in like 2005. It's a kind of weird film. It was actually a good story, but the execution was quite poor.
Yeah, it was badly done. So, but it was, we were talking about Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And it was the same idea. It was like if you had a chip or a camera behind your eyes.
Bicentennial Man was horrible. And so was AI, the movie AI. They were both really stupid, but
they were all bad.
Black Mirror. Basically, I think I should just watch anything that's on BBC 4. Would you recommend that?
Channel 4.
Yeah. Should I? Is it all good? Is it all that good?
Not all
we
of
don't
it.
Actually have TV, but as far as I recall, it's 50-50.
It's okay.
All right, we'll be back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Katie Green. So I'm here with Dan Green. Michael Dean has been taken away because he's been looking at people's
webcams online.
Unsecured webcams online. So he's been taken away.
He's been hauled off by the government for questioning because only they're allowed to do that.
Yeah. Only they're allowed to spy on people. So Michael's been hauled away. And at this point, Dan and I would like to say that
Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yeah. Just throw that in.
Just because we think it's necessary.
Yeah, although I think it's pretty good. America made, you know, the whole gay thing okay this week. So that's
actually,
it's okay to be gay now. There you go. America says so, so everybody can put stripes on their
That's
on
one
their
thing
faces.
I wanted to mention because, like, you know, I've seen all over Facebook people, you know, in this country,
in Britain,
I mean, yeah, putting the rainbow, like, bars over their face, right? Gay marriage was made legal here ages ago.
Was it last year?
Yeah,
and you know,
like
the libertarian,
anyway.
I'm back.
He's back.
The National Health of America did my brain electrodes and I'm all fixed now. I don't look at other people's cameras anymore.
Okay, good.
But, you know, the Libertarian Party like was running under the platform of legalizing gay marriage in the 70s. And it's, you know, what's an interesting thing though, the NRA, you know, the big square statist gun rights group here that, it's funny. Like whenever there's some gun thing happens, like people are like, the NRA are too radical. We must do something. And I'm like, the NRA are so square, man. They're not nearly radical enough. But, one of the things they're considering, and this is kind of going to be very amusing, is challenging, doing a Supreme Court challenge. Basically the idea of like, okay, if the Supreme Court has decided that yes, one state has to honor the gay marriage license from another state, and with the mechanization that the Supreme Court did that, technically they should have to do the same thing for concealed carry permits. Like there's some states in America where it's really easy to get a concealed carry permit. There's some states where it's impossible, but the NRA is going to do a challenge based on this gay thing to do the gun thing. That'll like really worry all the statists, I think.
I don't see the correlation personally.
Oh, no, because it means if they have to do it, then if it works that way for gay marriage, then it has to work that way for surely for a.
There's totally a correlation the way
that you can marry whatever gun you want to marry. But I don't get it.
using the legal mechanism that they used to say, the Supreme Court. I mean, theoretically, they don't just say, oh, gay marriage should be legal. Let's do it. They have to say why, you know, and have decisions on it. And the mechanization that they used to prove that gay marriage should be upheld, you know, from one state to another, that same, it was based on that, So like if things are recognized one place, anything has to be recognized in the other place in America now.
Mm. I understand. Yeah. I don't necessarily agree, but I understand.
How did you not agree?
Oh, right. Okay. Sometimes I say words and then Dan wants me to explain them. So I'm going to take it back.
Yes.
I'm going to take it back and go, okay.
How many guns do you have on you right now? I have four on
none.
Me. Really?
On you. On your person.
No, I've only got one on me. I've got, I've got four within reaching distance. Why?
I have none, okay. but go that's ahead. Just purely because people around me have none. So that's probably why. If it was legal and people around me could have them, yeah, I'd have them. Of course I would.
I know that just when he said I've got four, it made me think that he was sitting there like
waiting for something.
With like a big rifle on your back and like
a
headband and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, you think all Americans are Rambo. Okay, I'm going to go away now. Have a good show.
Bye, Michael.
Bye. Was that a bit of casual racism on my part?
Yeah.
I think it might have been.
We're kind of racist.
Stop racially oppressing me.
Let's stop racially oppressing the American people.
I'm breaking my own rules.
Let's just focus maybe on this or like on this article that we've got here about bosses.
Katie's dying to get into this, aren't you?
No, I'm just saying. Switch it around.
I just found this. It's not really bosses. It's just basically the 10 worst personality types you could work with. And I thought it was kind of funny. I found it online. And it was like, well, the first one is like the talker. Like this. So it says like, this is the person doesn't realize the only acceptable replies to how's it going or one or two words long. What makes them such a bad colleague is the sheer volume of their time they'll waste with their banal, self-centered anecdotes and monologues. You know, worse still, the talker's downbeat twin, the moaner, who is all of the above, you know, only with added self-pity and negativity. That's pretty much everyone I work with.
The one I hate at work is the martyr.
Oh, the martyr. I don't even think that's on this. I don't know if
that's not on that, but I've worked with a lot.
We'll explain what a martyr is. Yeah. In this context.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
is somewhere.
He's never far away.
He's somewhere watching us. So we were talking kind of about the worst personality types to work with, just because we want to moan about people we work with, you know,
yeah,
have worked with.
That's what this is.
And, you know, whatever, you'll listen anyway. It's probably not the best way to go with that. But, you know, the first person we were talking about was like the first personality type was like the talker.
Yeah.
So as in someone who like just completely wastes your time, you know, like
with, doesn't shut up.
Yeah. With rubbish back chat.
Just rubbish, and it's not even like stuff that matters, it's just rubbish.
See, now I take a very anti-small talk stance because yeah. I just can't stand small talk, and I see so much of it in work. Some of the most boring stuff I've ever heard in my life has been in
small
work.
Small talk is the don't do it. Just see if someone comes up to you and goes, "Hey, how you doing?" Just say, "Oh, fine, thanks."
Yeah, yes. I mean, like
yeah, good. Yeah, that's it. That's the extent of what you have to do. In fact, I'm a fan of the old nod in the street. Like, if you see someone you know, you just give them a nod, like,
keep,
hey.
And keep walking.
Yeah, keep walking. Don't slow down.
Start speeding up, in fact.
The worst thing is when you slow down. When someone slows down and you're like, I'm not slowing down for you. The best thing to do is go, mate, I'm in such a hurry, but I'll catch up with you.
Have you ever been like in a big supermarket, right? And you see somebody you know walking about,
yeah,
but you think,
change.
I have to get my shopping. So like you're going through the aisles and like peeking around the aisles to see like if they're there or what aisle they're in. So then you go to the other side of the shop to avoid that person.
I pretend I don't see them. If you know me, in fact, nobody I know is listening, I don't think, right this minute. So I can say, if you know me and you see me in a supermarket, please just keep walking because I don't want to stop. And that's not a rude thing. It's not like I love people. I love my friends.
Yeah.
But I love them when I want to see them.
Well, exactly.
And if I run into them, like if it's like my best friend, fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Aye.
But like if it's someone I just know.
I like just an acquaintance or someone you work with.
Yes. People you work with are funny because the people you work with, you don't have much of a choice. You kind of have to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
So
unless you're the boss.
Well, no, but even then, like you have to work with them. You can't fire someone because they're annoying.
The labor laws prohibit such things.
Yes, exactly. But, you don't have to get on. I've never understood that sort of we have to be friends thing.
I know what you mean. Like, it's like I hear guys in work and like the reason I don't ask someone like, oh, how was your holiday? You know,
you don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care. I'm not going to pretend I care because it just wastes my time.
These are wee sort of social contracts and niceties, though, that a lot of people do just do because it's nice to be nice. My mum always says that's nice to be nice. And I agree, it's nice to be nice.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go out of my way to...
Just to talk to someone for no reason.
I don't really want to talk to. That's the thing. Awful, I mean, but I don't care.
But like the thing is then it's like, what do you do? I mean, I actually got to the point with some people in my work are just so annoying and they get to the point where they know they're basically trying to annoy me and I just ignore them. I'm just like, nah, man, I'm not.
You're a shunner.
I am a shunner.
I don't like it. I can't. It's because I can't do it. I can't do it. But I'm an emotional firecracker. I am not a shunner. I am a highly strung emotional individual. Dan will tell you.
See, the thing is, right, because I've got basically this thing where I'll say, look, if I talk back to this person, I'm going to get annoyed, you know, and things are going to escalate because I'm going to say something they don't like or they'll say something I don't like and things will get bad. Whereas if I ignore them, I mean, I don't feel uncomfortable. The other person feels really uncomfortable, but I don't. I'm fine with that. I'll just
stand weird
there.
Though, man. Like, you know, it's like you're just like, you're like a robot. You're like, shut off. And I'm standing there going, rah! I don't know. I'm not a shunner, but that's a very libertarian way to be. And you've always sort of been like that. So
yeah, I don't know. It's just easier for me.
Yeah. You're very much a fan of, if I don't like them, I just don't.
It stops me from getting beaten up a lot as well.
It does. Yes.
You know, and that's anything that stops
me
from getting,
mostly.
Anything that stops me from getting beaten up is definitely welcome.
That's good in your book. See, I'm a woman. I don't have that same fear. In Scotland though, yeah, I do kind of, because women here will beat you up.
There's women here who could beat me up.
Yeah. There's a couple that actually live in this building that I think you're kind of freaked
you
out
by. You hope they're not closet libertarians.
I hope they're not libertarians that listen to this show. I highly doubt it. If they are, kudos. Kudos for keeping it quiet.
Come on up and see us.
Come on up and have a cup of tea. So, I think there's a few in this building. But no, it's I understand. It keeps you from getting beat up.
And that's like, that's the talker part. And then obviously, like I mentioned before the break, the other side to the talker is the moaner.
The moaner.
You know, people that just incessantly moan at you all day.
Moan.
Do you ever, I remember guys I worked with in different places, you go in and they go, oh, I hate it in here. And that's the first thing they'd say as soon as you walk in the
door. I feel like saying, okay, F off then. Just on you go. Just go.
Leave.
Aye, exactly.
I know, that's the thing. Like, so many places I worked in, you just walk in and people just like...
Like,
just
are so depressed.
Again, another good thing for not engaging in small talk. I don't know that they're having a bad day and they hate their life. That's, I don't care if they hate their life. That's their business.
Yeah.
There's no need
to... That sounds like a you problem.
There's no need to bring me into people hating their lives. You know what I mean? I've got
Mezzy loves company, Dan. Mezzy loves company. But that takes me nicely segue into the martyr. Now, this is one that's not on the list.
Oh, I think it is, but as the overcommitted colleague.
Yeah. I've known people that go in a half hour early. They've not been asked to. They don't have to. It's not their business. So, I mean, I would only go in kind of early. Now, this is where me and my dad say disagree. My dad's one of these guys that goes in early, you know.
But does he talk about it?
Well, I don't know if he used to talk about it or not, but that was just very much his way. Mm-hmm. He would go in early and be ready for like 40 minutes before he had to be.
There's nothing wrong with doing that, but obviously what we're talking about is the people that then
moan,
you know,
about it. Yeah. Well, I was in here at blah blah, and you go, hold on, that was your choice.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't force you. I didn't grab you out your bed and drag you into the office.
Like, I feel like saying to them, you don't own this business. You know, you don't have to be here at that time. You could come at 5 to the hour, 10 to the hour, you know, do your work and then go at, you know.
Yeah, because like I've actually got kind of two sets of people in my work like that. I have people that come in early, but they don't say anything about it. They just want to get themselves ready for the day and that's get themselves it. Ahead, and that's fine. But there is some people that come in, and then as soon as it happens, like you say, oh, can you get that for me or something? They go, I was in here at 4:30 this morning.
You go, hold on. You didn't have to be.
So what? I don't care if you were in here at 4:30 this morning. You know what I mean? What's that going to do with anyone else?
That's my standard Scottish response. I don't know what to say because it's frustrating.
I know, but like I think you find it's interesting because these work types, I found them. Oh, I think in everywhere I've worked, like they're really familiar.
One of the most interesting places to work for characters is a call center. Really? I don't know if
I've never worked in a call center.
Right, okay. I don't know if in America you have like an equivalent of this, but here we have call center jobs.
I think
basically is like telemarketing jobs that you can get on a whim. Like you can go and go for a job app, you know, you can be paid like the next week for talking on a phone, and it's not just outbound, it's like inbound as well.
Yeah, where people phone up to complain about
things. Yeah, and you're like, I'm really sorry about your thing. Yeah, I've worked for a few companies, but...
How do you mean interesting characters? Like what kind of people?
Oh, like people you work with, that you meet people. You meet the guy that's been working at the call center for 20 years.
And he's a hero because no one else can handle that. It's just that guy.
He's like the messiah there. He's like the guy that's been there since the beginning of time. You know, he's like the 40-year-old that works at McDonald's. You know, he's like the guy everybody goes to. So... But that's okay. If you're 40 and work at McDonald's, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm just saying you've been there for a longer time.
A few of my mates used to work at McDonald's years ago when we were like teenagers. Yeah. And they had this boss who was in their 30s and he was like long hair and all that. And like,
was it you in a past life?
No, it wasn't. No, this was a different guy.
Okay. You are that guy now.
Yeah,
you
know? He'd like long hair and stuff, but he used to come into the shop and they would do, I think it was Friday evenings, he would be the manager in the evening, and they'd go in and he'd have all this weed with him.
Yeah.
And he'd
watch TV in the back or something?
Aye, he used to fall asleep and stuff, and he'd be like,
it's McDonald's,
he'd be openly stoned, and actually he would share it out among the other staff members. He'd go, do you want to go out the back for a joint or something? I'll watch the counter and stuff.
I worked at McDonald's. That was not my experience. I worked with some really serious people. I was so disappointed.
You didn't, you worked in the wrong branch.
I know. I think I worked in the wrong one because everybody I worked with was, first of all, they were all older and they all took their job really, really seriously.
Super serious.
I was like, oh, this is not why I'm here. I was like, oh, you are so mistaken.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong memo. I got the wrong mistake.
I'm so sorry. I should not be here. So yeah, I worked at McDonald's for a while. And that was awful.
But that's the thing. You didn't want to take it seriously.
Well, that's the thing. And some people don't. Like I see, you know, I see kids going for these jobs. I see these kids going for these jobs. These kids today. But they're all like, yeah, I really want to work on my blah, blah, blah. And they're like 20 years old and they're saying they want to work really hard at like, you know, a bank. And you're like, come on.
You used to work at a bank.
I know, and I was
like
20.
Is that why you now have that stance?
Yeah, I have that thing now. I don't think at the age of 21 I should have been working in a bank, all serious face, like, brr, brr, brr. Would you like a loan? You know, that's rubbish. Like, why do you want to
do that? Not with that voice. I mean,
you'd be amazed the amount of people that went, yes. That voice, you bet. No.
I would love a loan.
I would love one. No.
Yes, please.
I don't know. I just... Yes. See, Michael wants one because I said it to that voice. No, I just think that, I don't know, you should have fun while you can have fun and then be serious when you have to be serious.
See, I don't know. I kind of know what you mean. I've had a lot of kind of low paying kind of jobs that I was just there. I was just there till the time finished. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't that fussed about what I was doing.
What do they expect? I mean, surely if you're working for minimum wage... You're gonna. I'm sorry. Like, are you not gonna put in? Like, now I know there's.
This is a shocking, shocking thing.
Oh, shocking revelations coming true.
We're discouraging people from doing a hard day's work. with our cynicism.
There's nothing wrong, but I'm saying, like, what I mean is, if you put in 45 hours a week at McDonald's, you know, just try to remember, you're not curing cancer. You know, we're not, you know, this is just
you
a bit
might
of food
be causing
and it's
cancer.
Okay. You probably are, you know, but I'm not trying to have a go. I'm just saying like, chill out, man. Like, you know, it's okay. Nothing is that serious that you have to like.
Well, that's the thing.
I used to cry about things that are so insignificant. So insignificant, like.
Well, is that not the thing that that British comedian, was it Mickey Flanagan, said about Gordon Ramsay? He said, like, you're obviously the TV chef, and he's always.
If you've ever watched Hell's Kitchen, yeah, you
he's
know
always
that
shouting
gets,
and sweating
yeah.
all the time. And he said, if he was there, he'd be like, "Calm down, Gordon. We're just making a bit of dinner. We're not sorting out the Middle East. It's fine."
Okay, see people that should be like, you know, up all night and like throwing up about stress from their job are people that, you know, affect people's lives and politicians and horrible, horrible human beings that cause death to other people and suffering.
This is the apocalyptic portion.
Yes, this is the apocalyptic portion of the show. So I'm just saying if you know, if that's your bag, yeah, you should feel bad. You should be stressed. You should probably be throwing up through the night. But if you're just like, you know, if you have a rubbish job, okay.
I mean, I'm a postman and, like, you know, I do my job properly, but yeah. I don't take it that seriously. Do you know what I mean? Like, if something comes in that's been missorted from another office, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Although I see some people go, we have to get this sent away right now. You go,
like,
oh, no,
okay,
it's not going to get there till tomorrow anyway. Calm down.
Nobody's going to die.
Yeah. We'll be back to moan.
Yeah, we'll
about
be back to moan some more.
All moaning all the time.
The McDonald's employees are not going to be happy. I don't think they're listening anymore. I think they've shut off.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Here with Dan Green. Michael Dean is never far away. And we're talking about work, jobs, and boring things like that.
But we're making it fun.
We're trying to.
I think. I'm just whinging. Whinging, let me translate for my American friends, moaning.
Moaning. Well, do they even know moaning? Like, that's aye. Like complaining. That's what moaning
means. It's just
means.
The way we like, say it, though. We go moaning. Like,
he's a moan. Like, he's a big complainer.
I don't know, man. I don't think we can be understood half the time anyway.
I don't think anyone really understands what we're saying. So, Dan.
I'm struggling. I've got to be honest. You know what I mean?
I never know what you're saying.
Yeah, we're talking about I found an article called The 10 Worst Personality Types that you can work with. And we're sharing our experiences. Yeah. Like, the one that's come up here is the person on their way out. See, now, they're taking the
we all know one.
Yeah. They're taking the kind of angle of maybe someone that's going to be fired or something like that.
Or someone who's retiring soon.
Ah, well, that's the thing. See, I've got that kind of thing going on in work. See, the last few weeks, we had a guy come in from another office to work with us, and he was basically putting his notice. He was quitting, right? And this guy is the weirdest guy I've ever... I mean, this is coming from me, right? And
you're a weird guy.
I'm a pretty weird guy. This is the weirdest guy I've ever seen in my life. Like,
he must be weird.
He was dancing about the office. He was like in his 40s or something. And he was
so
like,
what does
in.
That have to do with it?
Nobody does that. I thought somebody was going about an office at like 7:30 in the morning.
Maybe he's excited because he's leaving.
I know, but still. I mean, what's the other thing? He told me, he was telling weird stories. He told me this story, right, where he said that he went into this pub in this really bad part of Glasgow, right? Mm-hmm. And he was he was English, this guy. I'm not holding that against him, I'm just saying.
You know,
right?
It's just a fact.
I just think, I just want to bring a bit more context in. You know what I mean? But like, he said he went into this pub to use the toilet, and then he came out and he said, I fancied a cup of tea. So I asked the guy behind the bar if he did tea. And he's like, and you know what? He didn't do tea. I was like, I'm not surprised. He went to some dive bar and like the bad part of Glasgow, and like, he asked the barman for a cup of tea.
I would put it like the Gorbals and go to, I don't know. Well, the Gorbals is just an idiot.
I'm surprised nobody hit him.
You would, wouldn't you?
Would you hit him?
I
nearly hit this guy, but not because of that, just because he was annoying me. He was like, I had to help him get ready and get out the door, and he kept annoying me. He was constantly in my ear.
And you're like, get
out. I did the, you know, the shunning thing where I was right beside him, like literally almost touching him, and I was completely blanking him, right? And then
I've been there.
See, his last day, the day before he left, right? He went like that to me, he turned around to me, and I hadn't talked to him in days, right? Despite him trying to talk to me, and he said, you know what? The thing I'm going to miss about Royal Mail is your great banter. He's like, you're always laughing and joking, and I was just looking at him.
He probably was taking the mick out of you, Dan.
He was, in a big way. But like, this guy but he's one of those guys that I understand. I mean, probably I would be more chirpy if I was on my way out, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but I don't know, it's just, this guy had his own things. I mean, I don't think he would have stayed on very long anyway, because he was mental.
No, I think we've all known someone who's on their way out. When I was working at the bank, one of the worst jobs ever. I worked for a bank for a while, it was bad. When I worked at the bank, I had a girl. The girl who was training me was actually a part-timer who was doing her degree in criminology, I think.
Was she going to be a Batman?
She was going to be Batman.
Thank you, Clerks too.
That was Clerks too. I liked it. No, I mean, she was doing criminology. I think she wanted to be a forensic person from the TV. You know, the ones from the TV that they do all that stuff. Like, died. She was, there's like human stuff everywhere. Like, you know,
I don't know how true this is, but someone told me, like, in this country, after things like, you know, CSI and that were on TV, that so many people applied to do like that kind of forensic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and we're so good at describing this.
Forensic, but, like, things.
In university. But understand that there's like, I might be wrong on this, but this is what I get told. There's so many graduates every year, right? But like so many hundreds of graduates every year, but there's only a certain number of these jobs that actually exist in the police force, so it's unlikely that you're going to actually get a job doing that.
People forget you have to work for the police when you do these jobs. These aren't just like, you know, I'm a forensic analyst. I don't know if you have, you probably do have private places that do it, but I think you have to work for the police. I mean, really, to do that kind of job, I would assume. You can't just turn it to a crime scene and go, hello, I'm just going to dust this body. They're like, no, you can't do that.
I bought my own white coat, it's fine.
If I buy my own suit, may I see the body? We'll be back after this break.
With some more of this and maybe something else.
Some more, I don't know.
We don't know.
Whatever this is.
See what happens.
You're listening to it, so really.
Yeah, this is your fault.
It sounds like a you problem.
We will be back in the second hour.
Okay, bye. Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiendphone. I'm using Fiendphone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiendphone.
Fiendphone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try Fiendphone right now at fiendphone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiendphone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, F-E-E-N-P-H-O-N-E.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, and this allows reuse by anyone except for governments. And you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. I'm Katie Green. I'm here with Dan Green.
Hello.
And Michael Dean's never far away.
Yes. We were mourning.
Meow. There he is.
We were moaning in hour one about people we work with, and we're just going to keep doing it for a bit.
Not necessarily current people, but Dan and I have had a few jobs each. Not too many, but enough.
Aye, neither of us is like Charles Bukowski here.
Yeah, no. We've had a few jobs, but
like to make that clear.
So we're trying to talk about like different people that you come across in these sort of jobs, like the what was it, Dan?
Oh, the recipient or the beneficiary of nepotism.
Okay, so that's the one. Now I've been a beneficiary of nepotism in work.
Ooh.
It wasn't as fun as it wasn't saucy or anything. I was just related to the boss, but yeah, I've had that. So Dan, tell us about this person.
Well, actually, the picture they use in the article I've got is George W. Bush. It's just quite funny.
Hello.
I don't understand the connection.
I don't understand it.
No, I used to work for a company, and it was like a private sort of small company. Basically, one of the people's children worked for the business.
Yeah.
And he was a nightmare, man.
He was awful.
It was like his dad was a really smart guy who'd built up this business from nothing.
Stop saying too much because you're just going to be so obvious about who it is.
I don't even care. Nah, I'm only kidding.
No, just to people who know.
Yeah. But this guy was such an idiot and he was just a nightmare. And like he only had this job, obviously, because of who his parents were.
Yeah.
And it was like he would do only a fraction of the work. I was actually hired because he was too lazy to do all the work he was supposed to do.
You were hired to pick up the slack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, his parents hired someone else to do his work for him.
And were they not like quite obvious about it as well? Because like when you talk to them about it, they're like, yeah, well, he'll always sort of be there.
Yeah, he's a special kind of boy.
Like he's a special guy. He'll always be around. And you're like, no, that's just your way of saying he's too stupid to do anything else. So you're just going to sort of keep him. But that's nice though.
Well, one time, like one
that's
of his
good
parents,
he has that.
One time one of his parents, i.e. the boss, came to me and like he said, it was some daft busy work we had. It was like clearing out some storage area.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, we'll just get him to do it, meaning his son. He's like, that'll just keep him busy for a few hours. It was like he was there just to keep him busy.
And you just were like, well, he's making more money than me, though.
That was yeah. the problem. Because he was stupid enough to tell me how much money he was making. Yeah. And it was like, it wasn't considerably more, right? But it was more, and I was doing double the work that he was doing. Yeah. Now, fair enough, right? It's private business. They can do whatever they want.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's what we do preach, you know?
Yeah, it's the private business. They can do what they want.
But you did eventually leave that because of it.
It's not good for the staff, that kind of thing, because it annoys people because like people are like, why am I bothering?
Why am I busting my gut?
Why should I try so hard when this guy just waltzes in when he feels like it and does nothing?
Yeah.
You know?
That's it.
I don't know. It's a weird thing, though, because I often wonder, like, say we had a child and we owned a business and they were a bit like
and
there's just nothing you can do. I'm not saying that he was, like, mentally retarded or anything like that.
Right. Okay,
he was just a bit daft.
Yeah. He's just a daft boy. You do get people that are just daft.
Aye, he was daft, man. Aye. Like,
sometimes I'm daft and you're daft.
I know, but not to this extent. Nah, this is
I met him. He was daft. But no, I mean, like, that does pose the question. Like, if we did have a business, I mean, if you had a business and your child was there needing a job, surely, I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
That's the thing.
You can't not. If you said no, I'm not hiring you because you're not experienced now. I mean, unless your kid, like I say, unless your family business is being a doctor, surely, okay, if you have a doctor's practice and your son just said, I want to work for you, it was like, well, yeah, you have to go do work for that. You can't just...
I know, but obviously that wouldn't happen here, but you're like,
unskilled
if it was possible.
Work,
I know what you mean. Like, that's the thing. You probably would say, we need to give him, he's got to do something. Yeah. You would look at him and go, look, this guy's not getting hired anywhere else. It's just not going to happen.
What did our son do to deserve this sort of
hypothetical? I'm just saying.
Where did we go wrong?
I think that's
I would like to go down the road and figure out where we went wrong, where he's turned into such a blimmin' nightmare.
Where
that he can't nightmare? A nightmare. That's my band name. Nightmare.
Is that your melodic death metal band?
Nightmare. Yeah, that's our death metal band. Nightmare.
Sounds like more one of those melodic kind of bands, that have a female singer and every picture of them's taken on a cliff.
Yeah, that is my band. Yeah.
So where did we hypothetically go wrong with our hypothetical son who we are having to give a hypothetical job in our hypothetical business?
Yeah, Dan and I don't even own a business. This is the hilarious thing. I have a certificate that says I can do a job, but you're in a job where you're pretty skilled in it and you've been... But I'm not
as skilled as you need to be.
I'm not like, I didn't go to like university or anything. I didn't,
And that's the thing though. I do think, I get it. I think if we had a child that was a bit daft and we ran a business, you would have to, because basically you would look at him and go, never getting hired
anywhere
else. He's
my responsibility.
If he does get another job, he's just going to lose it within like a week. So, I may as well just hire him and keep him out of trouble, because
if we ever have a son, I'm going to play this for him one day.
Are you?
Just go, this is what your father thought of you then.
This is what your father thought of you.
This is what he thought of you before you were even born, son. And that's where we went wrong.
Conversation. I didn't get any more to say about nepotism.
No. I've said all I have to say about nepotism.
This guy's annoying me a little bit. I don't know why. Like I said, even though I can see it now from both sides, I can see why he got hired and why he's got the job.
But the thing is, if you decide to look, if you're going to go for a job somewhere and you look around and go, well, the guy's son works here, it might be a nightmare. It might be. Mm-hmm. And you might need to find somewhere else to work. Mm. Because at the end of the day, that,
See, in my experience...
He's offering a job. If you want it, it's there. He makes more than you do, so...
Yeah, that's the thing. I've seen workplaces with... more than one times that this thing happened. Yeah. I actually remember I worked somewhere briefly once though, and there was like one of the boss's sons in, but he was the complete opposite. He was like a manager and stuff, and he was like basically running the show.
Yeah, my dad works for family, and I can tell you right now, he's the type of person that takes the attitude of, I'm not going to give anyone the excuse to say that I'm just here because I'm family. Mm-hmm. So he works almost double hard.
Mm-hmm.
To prove.
Yeah.
Now, I don't really agree with that either, because I tell him, you're busting your gut
just
for no reason.
Just work the same as everybody else.
Yeah. I said, Dad, just go in, clock out. Which I think he does now, but he used to really bust it to prove that he was worthy of that job.
Yeah.
And that's a very noble
thing.
He didn't
just get it because of who he knew.
That's a noble thing to do. And if you need to do that, do it. But I don't know. I never had enough... I never had pride or anything. I don't really care.
I've got no pride in anything.
I had no sense of that. I was just like, I'm grateful for a job, whatever.
Okay, we have to get to this one. If we get off nepotism, the office gossip.
I think that might be me. I'm just kidding. No. Yeah, we all know one.
It takes an odd form in my work, actually, because it's all men. In my work. Apart, there's like a couple of women, but apart from that, it's pretty much all men.
It's a boys' club.
But this is the thing. It's really kind of weird and gossipy. Like, there's all these wee sort of cliques that people have. Like, people, we can't have a Christmas night out or anything because everyone will kill each other. Like, there'll be blood and things. Like, it's that bad.
I actually believe that.
I firmly believe that. Because I've had people like squaring up to each other for a fight, and I've seen it in work a number of times.
Do Americans know what a square go is?
I don't think so. I think that one's just for us. Right. That means you're going to fight someone if you want to have a square go
outside
with someone.
Square go. If you go, you want a square go, it means you want to go outside and fight. So sometimes I say to Dan, square go, square G, squadgy.
We're helping the Americans learn pointless Scottish slang.
This will never help you.
But, you know, it might help.
Unless you're in a club in Glasgow and some big guy, square go, and you go, I know what that means,
sir. I've just changed my stance on this. We're saving lives here.
Yeah. If you're ever in a pub in Edinburgh, Glasgow, anywhere nearby, and somebody says square go, run. Just run the other way.
If a big guy comes up to you and says, do you want a square go, wee man? Then it means just run away.
Just run.
So otherwise they might not have known. Actually, if you think about it, this is a public service.
We should be, exactly.
But the gossipy thing, right? So guys in my work are all sort of weird and cliquey. They all hang out in wee sort of groups.
It's so bizarre.
They whisper each other. So sometimes, sometimes I walk through and there's guys standing beside each other, like sorting mail and stuff like that. And they'll be going, and they'll be like whispering to each other, and then they'll be looking at other guys and stuff. It is creepy.
What's wrong with people?
I know, it's weird, isn't it? But like, but then I found myself doing it sometimes.
I know you do it.
See, when I've gone up to somebody I know and I've gone, I've heard this thing. and then before I realise that I'm doing it too, it's infectious. It's because everyone else is doing it. You sort of can't help yourself.
But it's those kind of things that make the working day tolerable, is it not? I mean,
but talking
unless
about people
you have a career, I'm saying, you know, there's a lot of people that have, you know, we have jobs that we have to do. You know, there are people that have careers and, you know, they go in and they talk about doing their career and they're like, oh,
do you draw a line between
things.
A job and a career?
I think, no, there's a huge difference between a job and a career. Yeah. You know, I've never had a career. I've had jobs. I've never had something I go into and go, okay.
It's just because you're not trying hard enough.
I know. That's exactly true. But that's it. But I'm very,
your attitude.
I'm realistic about that. Like I didn't go to university to learn how to do like architecture so I could go and have projects and have a career. I didn't do that because
you just got a rubbish little certificate make some money.
Yeah, I got the certificate so I could make money, so I could pay my bills, so I could live. But that's me.
Do you find that, like, obviously my work's kind of strange for gossip, but you've worked in a lot of more female
workplaces.
Do you find it's kind of worse, or is that just my rampant sexism?
That's your rampant sexism on display.
That's
actually, I would have to say in women's workplaces, it's much more undercut. You don't get told to your face. You never get told to your face. Like, everyone's your friend. Everyone is your friend. And then you find out they're not. But yeah, that's the thing about like,
that's always annoyed me as well about having managers like that who they'll say things behind your back about you, and then you'll hear about someone else and you'll be like, why can't you just be a man and actually say that to my face? You know
I've always been really like in work, I don't know if I don't like someone, I've just knocked over my microphone stand.
It's okay, she's fine.
I'm fine now. No, I don't know if I don't like someone, I just tend to, I don't do the shunning thing that you do. Because it's weird.
No, it's just me. That's just for me.
You.
But I am that lone weirdo.
But what was it? I saw this thing the other day and it was a very sexist little picture. But it was funny and it just said that, what was it about women?
I don't know. I'm not sure which one you mean.
You know the one like...
We'll think about it.
Men don't understand women.
Oh, yeah.
Women understand women and they all hate each other. Or something like that. It was like, it was funny. It was kind of giggly, but some women take that the wrong way. I don't. I'll be honest with you. I'm a bit of a nightmare. And I know that, like, I don't, you know, sometimes I say words, I don't even really.
You just talk?
I just talk.
Did you ever notice sometimes maybe people are talking about someone in work or something, and you don't particularly dislike this person, but you get kind of caught up in it. I go, yeah, that guy, I
hate
that
guy. They're horrible, I hate them. And you're like, oh no, they're really nice. I'm going to sign their birthday card.
More of this after this.
Yeah, more of whatever this is after the break.
Whatever this is, more of it.
I'm just going to say more words now. Blah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
This is the Freedom Fiends Monathon. Monday night / Tuesday morning Monathon.
Yes.
Well, I'm Dan Green. I'm here with Katie Green.
Hello.
And we have been, we've made this article last a long time.
We have.
We must really have issues with work.
Yeah.
We've been talking about people, harsh people to work with, annoying personality types.
Yeah, just types different personality
workplace.
Types that we've come across in different jobs in our life.
Yeah.
So what's the next one, Dan?
The brown noser. I'd like to put my own one in here, but like, everyone knows a brown noser, someone who sucks up to the boss, follows them around and stuff like that. It takes kind of different forms, I think, as well, because there's people that I would call, say, grasses.
Yeah.
Right? And basically,
a grass is someone who...
who wants to tell on people.
Yeah.
Wants to tell me stories about people.
Yeah.
I mean, I've actually been in, like, workplaces during meetings, right? And I remember this one time, it was something to do with, like, someone had apparently been smoking in a van, right?
Right.
And this guy actually said, oh yeah, I saw you smoking in a van on this street. And the boss is standing there giving this meeting and we're all in the same room together. But see, if, this is the funny thing about that. Like, see, when he said that, everyone, including the boss, went, oh, no names, no names, no names. And, and then it was just shut down because the boss was like, kind of, I'm not hearing this sort of thing.
Well, that's
but
the thing.
You could get someone fired with stuff like that and there was no need for it. So I don't understand why people do stuff like
this. Some people are really vindictive about it. And, you know, they see someone doing something that's against the rules and they want to run and tell someone. Unless you're hurting anyone, I don't see what the problem is.
Mm.
You have a policy, you're not allowed to smoke in the vans.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. You don't smoke anyway, so it's not really an issue for you.
It's not a big deal for me.
But if someone smoked in your van, would you be like, would you be annoyed?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Yes, I would.
I would report it straight away to the relevant people.
I know you.
And yes, I would. I absolutely would. I would report it immediately.
You did? You wouldn't, because you're not a grass.
Shh.
you would just put up with it, and I don't understand what the big deal is. I don't get the big deal.
If anyone from my work is listening, then I would absolutely report them.
Why though? Like, but why are you even saying that as a joke? Like, what? I don't get it. Like, what's the... It wouldn't bother you, would it?
Put it this way, on a personal level, no. No, I wouldn't. Why would it bother me? Do you know what I mean? You do get people like that that are so inflexible with the rules. You know, I've heard names like a Jobsworth or like a sort of Dudley Do-Right, if you want to put it that way. You know, somebody who just... who always wants to follow the rules.
Yeah.
And like, but there's no bend in them. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, sensible people do their job properly, but they've got a bit of bend in the rules. You know, if something happens, they'll bend the rules for this or that. But I've met people who want to work completely within the rules, and see, most of the time you can't do that. You can't run like an office that way.
Yeah.
I had a manager in one time who'd like never done the job. He was a sort of graduate guy, and he was in with a manager who had done the job, who'd been in a lot longer than him. Mm. And this new guy was trying to do everything by the rules, purely by the rules, no cutting corners.
By the book.
Yeah, completely. But the other guy said to me, the other manager who'd been in the job a lot longer, he went like that. He said, listen, this guy's not going to last very long. He's like, you just can't do everything within the rules. You can't do it. He's like, he'll either have to bend the rules somewhere or quit.
Yeah.
That's just it.
Absolutely.
Because when you've got managers and stuff that want certain things from you, sometimes the only way you can do that is to bend the rules a bit, but I don't see what's wrong with that.
You're not hurting anyone. Nobody's, and just to be completely clear, but you don't mean that anybody gets hurt by it. No, you don't. Nobody's mail gets undelivered or anything. It's just you have to, some admin stuff you have to sort of
Or like, you know, like maybe things you're kind of not supposed to do but you'll do anyway, you know. If you do a favor for someone, you know, like, but you know it's fine, but technically you're not kind of supposed to do it.
But you've never done anything like that, just to say Royal Mail. Dan doesn't do anything like that. Dan's a rule follower.
I wrote the rule book. But then there's the other person as well. I know people that will do things that are within the rules, right, but it's just to annoy people. Like, you know, like I remember someone oh, someone had come and grabbed one of the guys. Yeah. He was delivering packages, right? And someone had come and out of their house and grabbed them, yeah, and gone, can I get that package? You know, you were at my house maybe 50 minutes ago. I live in that street. And he was like, oh, I don't know who you are. He did know who this person was, yeah, right? He's seen them before. He's delivered to them for years, right?
Just to annoy them.
Yeah, just because he didn't like them, right? And he was like, oh, no, if you don't have valid identification, I have to take this back and all that. And it's just because his life is so depressing, right?
He wants to make everyone.
And I can confirm this guy's life is really depressing. He wants to drag everyone down to his level, does and he it? Wants to make everyone as upset and depressed as he
you
is.
You find that people do that, don't they?
I find that a lot.
But misery loves company, and then
they use like, oh, I'm just following the rules as an excuse. So it's almost like a bit of a cop out. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to say something to this guy, why can't you say it to him? Why have you got to, you know, go, oh, I'm just following the rules, you know?
Because obviously he's a vindictive person and that's his way of being vindictive, but without having to be original about it. He's like, I'm just going to make this guy really annoyed. He wants something, I'm not going to give him it. And after the break, I have more tips on annoying people.
Oh, you're going to have to stay tuned for that.
I have tips on annoying people through opportunity, annoying people by choice, annoying people not by choice.
Stay tuned.
It's a lot of ways you can annoy people. Like I'm doing right now.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon. Lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Still moaning about.
We're talking
bosses.
About work.
Yeah, we're still complaining. I think actually we should take this moment to say that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
I've heard that.
You have?
I've heard that.
I have also.
On this show. Yes, I've heard that.
So the next part of this kind of, the next work type that came up, which was sort of an odd one to me, is people that do work-like activities outside of work. This is not something I'm terribly familiar with.
I don't know a lot of pharmacists that deal drugs outside of work. No, that's not
that you're that,
that
you're
I'm
saying.
Aware of. I don't know any, but they might. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I know guys that go like, you know, hill walking and stuff or that, but I don't really think that's a bad thing.
Michael.
Meow.
I believe that's Michael.
I think that's Michael impersonating a cat on air.
Somewhere on the internet.
Somewhere.
I not. That kind of one, I don't get that one.
I don't really know. I mean, I don't know anyone that
does that, to be honest.
Are we talking about people that go on like workshops and stuff?
Or like people that sit on like committees or something, you know, that's similar to their work and stuff like that. But I don't really see how that's a... Nah.
It's not for me.
Nah, shut it down.
Shut it down. No, I don't do that.
Okay, here's one I can get behind. The micromanager. You know, people that are constantly like every little thing you do.
And they have no authority. They're not even like an assistant. They're just there to watch you do everything and then tell you what you're doing wrong.
I actually had an actual manager in a work I used to work in years ago, and he would say things like, so what are you going to do this evening? Like, and I'd go, well, I thought I was going to do this and that, and he'd go, nah, you're going to do this.
And you're like,
and
why'd you ask?
Yeah, what was the point in not even asking me in the first place?
In case you were psychic enough to know what he wanted you to do.
Sometimes I am.
Like if you went, I'm going to go do that, he would go, yeah, actually, yeah. But no, I don't think you know.
It's weird. I know, but I've seen these people all the time. I had a manager one time as well who would come up and he would just stand right beside you, practically breathing down your neck, but he wouldn't say anything. Mm. He would just stand and really intently watch what you were doing. That. And see, this is the thing. Like, I was good at what I was doing, but he made me so uncomfortable.
When someone watches you, you become bad. You make a mistake. It's happened to me so many times. And this is why I don't test well. And this is also why I've never learned to drive, because... You know, I can absorb information and I can do things like that, but when it actually comes to someone sitting me down and going, okay, here, now we're going to watch you write down what you know, I will clam up.
That's the thing. That happens, doesn't it? When someone's watching you like that, you totally make mistakes. I used to have
exams when I was doing my course to be a dispenser person for the pharmacy, and they were like aseptic sort of lab tests that you had to be really... it was in the microbiology labs. Ooh. And it was really, I know it sounds very, very posh, but it's not. It was just in a lab and we had to, I don't even remember what it was. This is how good I am at my job. I don't remember what the training was particularly, but it's not something I needed anyway for the course, but I had to do it. And it was one of these things where the lecturer would watch you and you had to do this technique with all the chemistry equipment. There was a Bunsen burner and there was fire.
How did you pass this course?
I don't know, man.
Did you steal the answers or something?
No, I saw someone doing it and then they went, do it. And I did it. And I replicated the move and they went, yep, pass. I went, okay.
But I
don't know what it was.
That's the thing. That's interesting. So why do you think they bother even teaching you that if it has no practical relevance to your job?
It's the education system. I don't know. I don't know why I have to learn half of what I know.
Really?
But I had to learn it to prove.
But it's got no practical relevance now.
No. A lot of the course didn't, yeah. I did that job before I got my certificate, and then I did the job after the certificate.
No difference.
I can tell you right now, my work did not improve at all. I just worked the same amount I always worked, and that was me. But yeah, you do have jobs like that where you have to...
But now you have a fancy certificate you can put on the wall.
That I can put up on the wall and go, yeah.
And go, look, it's my certificate.
Look, I've got a certificate in this. But yeah.
And that's weird. I mean, I've had sort of managers like that who are like totally all up in your business all the time. I don't even think it's necessarily a good thing. You know, I've actually seen managers who talk like who have been like standing with stopwatches, literally with stopwatches, counting how much people do, like say maybe how many letters people sort in like 5 minutes or something, which is...
So?
It's pointless. Like, it really is. Because, see, as soon as the manager's not standing behind them with a stopwatch when he's away around the other side,
yeah, you're not
just go back to the way they were doing it before.
Yeah.
Maybe it just so he can get a really good 5 minutes out of you.
Yeah. Just so they
5 minutes
really
of your best.
I don't know. I don't really get it. I think if you're one of these people that stands there with a stopwatch, if no one has coerced you into doing that, if you've thought of that yourself, if you're standing there and you're working going, I'm going to go and time the guys to see, stop. Stop and look at yourself. Have an audio. You know,
have an audio.
Have an audio. I'm eating Oreos right now.
All right.
Have an audio. Have a cookie of your choice. Have a glass of milk. Have a glass of water. Do what you want. Just take a little minute and take a little breather and look at what you're doing.
You should write these all down in like a thought for the day calendar that people can sort of read every morning.
Really? Should I? I don't think I should. I think that'd be very, very annoying.
Katie's life hacks.
Yeah. Life hack number one. If you're ever in doubt, just don't do it. Just walk away. If you're not sure, run away.
Have you ever had managers as well that like as soon as they get into like your office or whatever, you know they're looking to fire someone?
Yeah.
Because I've had people like that, you know, as soon as they come in, they're like, they're kind of usually sort of weak sort of people.
They want to establish their authority. And they usually use like they would. It's like in The Office. Michael did it. He's like, Dwight's like, you should fire someone to, you know, show them who's boss.
Yeah. When they get the new staff in.
Yeah. But then he, you know, spoiler alert, I think he does. But see, it's not what you think.
If it was allowed... permissible by law, the real way to establish your authority would be like, say you walk into an office,
pee on someone. That's the way.
How'd you get there?
See, that's what dogs do.
Some people might enjoy that.
Some people do.
I was going to say, like, you come in your suit and tie and you're all crisp and stuff, and you just walk up to the biggest guy in the office and you just punch him.
And that's prison. That's jail. That's how you establish your authority in jail. We've had this conversation for when eventually Dad does go to jail for whatever crime he will eventually commit. That's what I've told him. That's a life hack right there. It's a life hack.
Get it on the calendar. Write this down.
Yeah.
The calendar will be coming
out. My other hashtag is, if you're having a bad day, get into your underwear and do a little dance. And if you're not laughing by the end of it, then there's something wrong with you.
Do you mean in work or do you just mean around the house?
Don't do this
I think
in
we
work.
Should specify
That's
that.
That's why I got fired. No, don't do that in work. Don't do it. No, just like put on a song and dance around.
And your underwear?
Well, you don't have to be in your underwear, but I like it. It's pretty free.
You opened with that, so I think it must be pretty significant
what?
For you to
it's
open
fun.
With it.
It's fun to do because like you're not weighed down by... useless clothes and stuff. It's talking rubbish. Sometimes it's fun to do a little dance. And if you're not laughing by the end of it, you know, something wrong with you.
Add it to the life hack list.
Yeah.
But see, I think the thing is as well, like, you do have to establish your authority in some way, don't you? Like, I know, but I don't think firing someone, you know, just for a trivial reason.
I think one-on-ones are probably a good way when you, like, I don't mind doing that. If I've had a new boss, like have a one-on-one.
Oh, like just a sit-down for
a
chat.
Yeah, just a sit-down. Like what? The thing I hate is when they try and be your friend.
Yeah, they always
What are you into? And I'm like, no, let's not do this.
Did I tell you that I had a boss one time who he'd found out that I did like a podcast? And
oh,
like,
gosh, yeah, you've said this before.
Aye, and he looked up libertarianism and he just opened with, so, Ayn Rand. And I was like, what? Go away.
Like, come on, man. Come on. At least he tried, though. That was nice. People in my work don't know about this.
I prefer it if they don't try. Like, I prefer it if people just...
Don't try. Just please don't try with
me. If you ever work with me, just don't talk to me. just leave me alone. Definitely. But like, you have had I've had managers that totally can't command any respect, you know what I mean? Like, they're just come in and they're obviously weak.
But it's like teachers at school. You knew the weak ones.
Oh, yeah.
The weak ones, you would just be like, nah.
Yeah, because how many times we were in a lot of the same classes
at school,
and we had weak teachers like that you could, you know, you were going in, you were just going to walk all over them.
Yeah,
because
well,
the thing
is, and you didn't go in, like, it's not as if we went as horrible, horrible teenagers, like, we're going to make this woman's life hell, but it was more like she had no command over the class. So if I wanted to turn around to Dan and have a conversation with him, I was going to turn around and have the conversation because
regardless of whether she was talking or not.
Yeah, she was, to be honest, she was dull though. And I think we both know who we're talking about.
We know who we're talking about.
We know
about.
Who we're talking about.
We know.
Oh, I hear an ablution.
Okay.
I hear ablutions.
It's like Michael just emerged from a big cloud of something.
A cloud of something with like an oxygen mask on. It's kind of creepy.
It's a little bit.
A little bit, but...
Blue Velvet.
Oh, gosh, yeah, film.
Oh, what was that film all about,
then? Was that Dennis Hopper?
It was, wasn't it? That was
and
just,
he was
I didn't
really,
even understand
we watched it and we were like, whoa, what is this?
It's probably some arty film person going, oh, you didn't get the subtle nuances.
No, I
don't care about the subtle nuances,
I didn't
right?
understand it, sir.
It was just weird, man.
An artist, if nothing else, Dan. An artist to the end, it was just weird.
It was just weird.
No, I actually would give it another shot. Through different eyes. I wasn't ready for it. I thought it was like a comedy or something. I was like, this is so far removed from everything I was expecting. Shut it down. Yeah, he was.
Do you often go into films with unreal expectations?
I do. Sometimes I do. Lately, I've been thinking about the 90s a lot.
Have you?
Yeah. Is that not me looking through photos, listening to 90s music? Is that not giving you a clue?
No, I've noticed that, but yeah. Like, I was
for the sake of the radio, were you just being like, oh, are you? Okay, right, okay.
No, I was kind of being half sarcastic, but like...
No, I'm just thinking of like 90s movies and stuff a lot lately.
Yeah.
And I like the kind of... Did you ever see like Camp Nowhere?
Oh, did we not watch that?
Yeah, that was
time?
Like a really big like 90s kids kind of summer adventure film.
What, does it remind you of your...
Of my wild and crazy youth, yes.
Your wild and mad youth, growing up in Vancouver.
My Vancouverian youth in the
90s. Vancouverian, is that?
Yeah, we were.
Is that how we're pronouncing
we were cool, man. I didn't think it was that cool at the time. At the time, it didn't feel very cool, but looking back, it feels pretty cool.
That's the same with everything, like, you know.
That did not feel cool at that time.
It's like, you never know when you're in the good old days. You only know afterwards, do you know what I mean?
We're like 28 years old. The good old days of
Bob Hand. No, but do you know what I mean? You don't look around at certain periods and go
I'm going to remember this forever. And there's bits
it's
I
gonna
actually
It's going to be the
thought,
greatest summer of my life.
I actually thought there would be times like that, and it turns out they were rubbish. Like me and my friends have turned to each other and gone, this is going to be amazing, and then it's not.
You ever had that sometimes in a holiday? Sometimes you really, you overhype it in your head. I went to I had some holidays that were amazing, but I had some ones, especially in like cities in Europe, and some of them just descended into outright weirdness.
Was this with your family or with your friends?
No, my friends, man.
Oh yeah, well, it would be weird. We're going to talk about weird European trips after this.
I'll tell you stories about clubs in Poland.
Ooh.
If that's not a reason to join us after the break, I don't know what is.
Talk about Amsterdam.
Again.
And all the fun that has. The happiest place in the world.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
BIPCOT No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN. FM.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Katie Green. Welcome back. So we're in our last segment of the show, which is odd.
The redemption in the third act.
Is this redemption? How are we going to redeem ourselves?
Well, actually, during the break, you were talking about finding an improv class.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for some time. This is a topic in our house that's always like coming back to it. Like, we start talking and I go, yeah, I'm going to find an improv class. And Dan goes, okay, go find one.
Right, if you go to an improv class, right, I'm saying this on the radio, so okay, it has to be true.
Right.
I will come with you.
Are you serious?
And I'll actually try.
You will actually try?
I'll actually try. I'll video it and I'll put it online.
You will try? Are you saying that you'll go to an improv class with actual people?
And I'll allow myself to be
in some
videoed
kind of church hall.
And I'll put it online.
And you'll put it... No, I don't want you to put it online. That's cruel. Like,
this is how sure I am that you're kind of half kidding.
I'm semi-serious.
I would do it, man. Why not? It could be... I don't know why we're talking about an improv class, but...
It's because of The Office. He goes, I'm not starting improv at level one. But improv is funny because, like, improv is
something.
Making things. Yeah, it's what I should be doing right now. Like, saying words, making things up on the spot. It's, you know, it looks fun.
Do you genuinely want to go to an improv class?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I keep saying the words, so maybe.
It'll be interesting. I'll go with you.
Does it follow that I keep saying I want to go?
Do we have to do it sober, though?
No.
Well,
we can go for a drink first. Or we could do, I don't know. But yeah, the thing about improv, it looks fun.
It does. It looks fun technically, but then
Is it like one of those things that looks good?
I think it's not. I think, you know, you can watch something like Whose Line Is It Anyway and go, oh, that looks like they're having a laugh. But then you get into a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of different, I think.
Yeah, I like to be entertained.
I don't think improv classes are all they're cracked up to be.
Tell you what, let's just leave the improv where it is and we'll go do something else. Salsa dancing or something.
So we got into improv because we were talking about The Office, the TV show, and we were talking about working, see?
Like offices and stuff. It all comes together. This is all coming full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. What we're saying makes sense. It's not just
so we're talking,
rambling.
Shut up, Dan. We're talking about annoying bosses and stuff. And
do you know one of the personality types that we never talked about? It comes up in this article I was reading about, you know, bad personality types to work with is, like, I don't know this, well, kind of, but I don't know this in this context. It says the cool guy or girl. And
that's because it's us. That's because we are the cool people. Well. That's why we don't know. No.
But see the description. The description goes, they're the fun person who breaks all the rules and is really a bad influence on you. They drink 4 pints at lunch. I mean, what?
Who does that?
Talk back to senior managers and show up late. They just don't care and can seem like the office equivalent of the maverick hero in an 80s high school movie.
Okay, I'll tell you that right now. The reason why we don't have that, they get fired very, very fast.
Because this says, and yet for all this, their career doesn't seem to suffer.
Maybe that's when people have careers, though. We're talking about jobs.
See, I think that's a bit extreme. I know that to a smaller extent. Like, I know people who are like everybody's pal, if you know what I mean, and people like them, and they get away with a lot more because manager likes them and stuff, and people kind of want to have them about. I mean, if somebody went and drank 4 pints and walked into my office,
they'd be fired.
Especially if they were expecting to be driving that day.
That's bad.
They'd be thrown out very quickly.
I mean, I just think, you know, there are some jobs you can go and have a drink at lunchtime. I don't work in one of them. It's a pharmacy. You have to be very, very wits about you. You can kill someone.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'd love to work in a place where I could have a drink at lunch. It would really take the edge off.
That's the dream. That's the dream. To be able to drink at work without, to be able to inebriate yourself on your lunch break without any repercussions.
I can't see why you'd want to anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it'd be awful. Imagine working while drunk.
It's the most depressing place to be drunk at work, I would imagine.
It's like, imagine going for a drink and feeling all good and bubbly and then going back to work.
Back to work to stare at all these other people that you don't like.
And then
like.
You're trying to like talk to people and you're drunk. So there's no talking to you. I'll be honest, when I worked at the call center, I did go out one time on lunch for a drink and we went back and it was kind of fun because there was no responsibility and people were phoning and we were just like, whatever. So there you go, guys. I drank at work once. It was okay. But it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Just not at your current work.
No.
It's important.
Just to point that out. I don't really know how this is redemption.
I don't know. I mean, if you made it to the end, well done.
Well done.
We're proud of you.
We're proud.
And you might just get to see my improv video at some point.
Nope, that's not happening. Thanks for listening, though.
Yeah.
So we've had fun talking about jobs and bosses and...
And generally moaning.
Yeah. We have worms.
I know.
Worms.
Ah, make it worms.
I'm always listening. I watch you sleep.
And sometimes he's watching.
Well, that's a secret function in Fiend Phone.
So you should secure
it.
You should.
Password is FiendBone1.
So feel free to download it.